gifts of the Spirit. If the kingdom of God does not find expression, there will be no expression of the operation of prosperity. Everything done can be hijacked by other spirits, and it will become an expression of the reality of those spirits apart from the Spirit of God. And so when God wanted to bring about his will on the face of the earth, he had to establish kingdom. I will talk to you about the seven components of the kingdom as we advance. And then you will see that when those components were taken from the foundation of creation, God suspended his will. He could no longer advance his will. He had to wait until the kingdom was reestablished before he began to advance his will. I'm not teaching about the kingdom primarily. I just want to show you the foundation of all reality before I delve into my teaching tonight. And so when you study Genesis chapter 1, you will discover that there were seven pillars that creation rested upon. And these seven pillars are the pillars that form the kingdom of God, the government of God, and the expression of the dominion of God. The first pillar, which is also the first component of the kingdom that God established in the garden, was his presence. When the presence of God is not in a place, the will of God can never find expression. So before God began the project of creation, he had to bring his presence to overshadow the visible realm. It was within the context of his presence that he began the project of creation. And the presence of God is not just an atmosphere. The presence of God is the expression of the dominion of God. The presence of God is the expression of the government of God that derives from the nature of God. When the presence of God comes to a place, the will of God will be compelled to find expression. Now, the reason you find chaos in spiritual operation is because the presence of God probably has been withdrawn. Now, you can be in the spirit and not in the presence. I need to say that quickly. Because when the Holy Ghost is in you, you are in the spirit. But when you are in the presence, you are under the aura, the dread, the fear, and the government of God. It was Paul teaching us in Romans chapter 8 from verse 9. He said, if you have the Holy Spirit, he said, you are in the spirit. So you are not in the spirit when you close your eyes. You are in the spirit because the Holy Ghost dwells in you and you are one with him. So long as the Holy Ghost is in you, according to Paul the apostle, you are in the spirit. But you are in the presence of God when you stay under the circumference of the dominion and the government of God. So when God wants to establish any reality in any sphere, the first thing he does is that he introduces his presence. That was why what God created was called Eden. Eden means the atmosphere of God's presence. And when the world was in chaos and God returned to the earth, the Bible said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness, what it means is tohu bohu in Hebrew, and it's emptiness, voidness, vacuum, and endless waste, because the authority of God no longer governed the earth. And before God began creation again, the Bible said the Spirit of God came hovering upon the face of the deep. He had to introduce his presence before creation or recreation could be possible. So every time God wants to bring any reality to the face of the earth, the first component of the kingdom that goes forward is the presence of God. There will be no revival until men begin to learn to discern the presence of God. There will be no revival until men begin to learn to discern the government of God. And that's why every time revival is about to take place, men repent. The idea of repentance is to come back to the government of God. They put away their own ways. They put aside their inclinations, their proclivities, and their tendencies. And they find out the rule of God again. So what repentance is to turn away from whatever it is that dominated you and come back under the government of a new spirit. It is in that atmosphere that revival is possible. And the reason is because the presence of God is the first component of God's government. And when the presence of God comes, anything God wants to do can find expression. The second thing about the kingdom of God is the life of God. When the life of God is not available, God does nothing. every time God wants to walk, he functions by his own energy. And when revival comes, or when we begin to receive the baptism of revival, you will discover that our charisma will no longer be an advantage. You may discover that you are an orator, and you think because you are an orator, you will be the first preacher that God will anoint. God may say, you who is an orator, go and be an intercessor and stay behind the cave. Nobody will know you. I don't need your natural capacity to bring my counsel to people, because the power is not in oratory. The power is in the expression of the light that is domiciled on your inside. That was why God chose Moses, not Aaron. Aaron is an orator, but God is not depending on natural ability to bring his government to pass. Because if you do it by your natural ability, you will take the glory. You will think it's because you can talk. That's why people gather. For you to gather people, there is an expression of the life of God that provokes everything that happens around you. You may think it's because you're a good singer. That's why God makes you a psalmist. A psalmist is not a man who sings well. A psalmist is a man who can download the government of God through the frequency of sound. And so when God raises a psalmist, the idea is not about a good song. The idea is about bringing the atmosphere of heaven and piping it into a territory. And when you find an accurate psalmist, people will not be moved by his voice. They'll be moved by the things that happen when he utters his oracle. Because his voice is a gate from the realm yonder into the natural. His voice is a corridor from the divine realm into the human realm. A psalmist is not a man who sings well. He may be able to sing well because that's part of the expressions of God's benevolence. But when a real psalmist shows up, you will find warriors emerge. You will find the government of God emerge. You will find the fear of God emerge. Because what that psalmist does, it's not a song, it's a rhythm of heaven. It's a vibration of the reality that keeps the gate of heaven and the possibility of the immortal realm in place. That is what he pipes into the environment. So sometimes when a psalmist is singing, deliverances will be taking place. Because what he's doing is that he's telling demons, I've tapped into the angelic corridor. And in the angelic corridor, the jealousy of God is a weapon. And when a psalmist begins to pipe into the heaven, you will discover suddenly warring angels will come into the auditorium and people who were demonized will be let loose. When a psalmist worships, sometimes gifts of the spirit are activated, because what he's doing is that he's going back to the cradle of eternity and he's unveiling the things that were kept before the foundations of the world. Because by a reason of his sound, they can walk in the midst of the coals of fire. He can journey into the heart of Abba because he understands the rhythm of the spirit. A psalmist is not a good singer. He may sing well, but he's a man that knows the rhythms of God. And he can pipe down the government of Elohim. That cannot happen except there's a life that powers him. They don't train psalmists in Juilliard. You can go to the best music school, but you will not know the movements of the spirit. But when the psalmist comes, he knows what God is doing. And sometimes he comes up to sing and he begins to pray in the Holy Ghost. You are wondering, why is he praying? Because there is a priesthood that commands the government of sound. And he must align with that priesthood in the spirit to be able to find out the rhythm of God. He may pray in tongues for 30 minutes and worship for 5 minutes. But what he has done is that he has brought heaven on earth. And by the time he finished singing, you will not know when you will be lying down. Not because you were slain by the anointing, but you could see the presence of God. He brought heaven to earth. And you will worship God like the 24 elders. It's life that works it. When a witness shows up, it's not an exegist. When we raise people by exegesis, but if there is no government of life that is communicated, we can't help people. Because what keeps men bound is called death. And until we can bring life, death will not be swallowed up. Many people think preaching is about knowing the Bible. There are many theologians that are like concordances. When you quote three phrases in scripture, they will tell you everywhere it is, but there's no life in them. There is a life that makes it possible for the purposes of God to find expression. Please sit down. The second thing about the kingdom is the life of God. That's why God will not stop until we carry his life. He will not stop. That's why God cannot fulfill what he wants to fulfill until life comes. The reason Jesus came is to bring life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't give a message that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have eternal life. Because until life comes, there can be no kingdom. Life is the organic dimension of kingdom. Life will teach you hunger. Life will teach you reverence. Life will teach you everything that is captured within the faculty of your expression. That's why you don't need to teach a child how to eat. The moment a child is born, that child begins to cry. Hunger is a technology that life provokes. You don't need to educate a child and say, be hungry. Nobody teaches a child that breast has milk. Drink it. When the child wakes up, he begins to look for what to eat. Because life itself carries an educational syllable that teaches you the ways of God. And until a man enters into the womb of life, he cannot function in the kingdom of God. Until the generations of God embrace the government of life, we can't see the move of God. If we still remain in our senses and we think revival is a strategy, if we think revival is packaging, if we think revival is coordination, we will do it until our generation will be obliterated. As beautiful as excellence is, until life comes, there's no signature of the immortals on the things we do. So God made sure that life was a necessary component. So the Bible said in Genesis 2 verse 9, that he planted the tree of life in the midst of the garden. If life is not there, there can be no kingdom. There must be the presence. There must be the life. That's why when we do spiritual activity, the goal is not the activity. Many come to prayer. They think prayer is about gaining a title that you are a prayer warrior. You can be a prayer warrior and have no rank in the spirit. Because when the spirits check you out, you will be light. You only have endurance, but you don't know the gate of life. And when you pray, life can't come out of you. But when a man who knows life begins to pray, begins to sing, anything he does, what he does is that he emits life. And so when such a man is carrying out a spiritual activity, the goal is not the activity. He's looking for the womb of life. When that man begins to pray, his purpose is not to pray for 5 hours. He prays until he comes to the place of exchange where his weakness is swallowed up and he mantles with the life of God. He will not stop his prayer because he has hit 5 hours. Praying long is very important because he will build spiritual stamina. But the tenacity alone is not enough. He will pray until he reaches that point where that exchange takes place. I came here sleepy, but life mantled me. I came here weak, but life mantled me. I came here fearful, but life mantled me. So when he finishes, he knows that the measure have changed. That's why Ezekiel will tarry until the life comes as a liquid water. That liquid is life flowing. And he said they fetched 1,000 cubits. They poured it. It was at the ankle. Even if he has been there for 10 hours, the water level is still at the ankle. Prayer have not stopped. Worship have not stopped. Sometimes you start singing one song. And you sing that song for 2 weeks. The song won't stop until the measure is complete. But a man who doesn't know about life, he will say he has sang for 10 hours. Who is talking about time? You are doing business in immortal realm. You are doing business in dimension where time has no authority. And you are referencing your operation by time. You have failed before you started. Don't you know that the realm you are tapping into, time does not have authority there? How can you now gain spiritual reality by time when spiritual realities themselves have no regard for time? You are traveling to a realm where time does not exist and you are equating your operation by time. You don't know how that realm operates. It doesn't matter how long Ezekiel had been there. He waited until they faced another 1,000 cubits, and when they poured, it was at the knee level. When they poured, it was at the waist. They poured, it was at the shoulder. He waited until it was enough for him to swim. At that point, he's basking in life. Anything he does, it will be a blessing. The kingdom is about life. And I don't have time to press for that because the journey is far. The third component of the kingdom is access, intimacy. You are not in the kingdom until you have a relationship with the king of that kingdom. If there's no relationship with the king that rules that kingdom, you are a stranger, you are an alien. Because in the kingdom, everyone is a property of the king. And so what you seek to find favor with is not with men, it's with that king. That king is the one that manipulates men to have favor with you. What you are looking for is not fame, because fame is not one of the things that give rank in that kingdom. You can be famous yet you are an enemy of that king. What you are looking for is not money. It's the favor of that king. When you have favor with that king, he can cause money to travel in your direction. The Bible says God spoiled the Egyptian by giving favor to the Israelite, and they went with the wealth of Egypt because they secured favor. So while they were in pain in Egypt, they were crying to the God of heaven. And when God showed favor in one night, 430 years of captivity was overturned. Because when you find favor with that king, you have become a man of authority in that kingdom. So one of the most potent things about the kingdom is access, is intimacy. And that's why when Adam rebelled against that kingdom, he was driven from the garden. He was still breathing, farming, eating, giving birth to children, but he was no longer a prince in Zion. He had lost his throne. A cherub came and stood with a sword turning on every side because the guy no longer had access. You cannot say you are a kingdom man until you have a relationship with the Holy Ghost. If I ask you, when was the last time you heard the Holy Ghost? Maybe you have not heard him for 1 month, but you come for prayer meeting. You are a good prayer warrior, but you don't know what you are engaging. We fight to defend our relationship with God. That's why many times we go on retreat. You may be a busy man, but the last time you check, the movement is no longer there. You search for the Holy Spirit, you can no longer find him. You talk to him, he doesn't respond. You will lose your peace. Because you know that what gives you credibility and authority in the kingdom is intimacy. Every time you reach the junction of your life and you are seeking counsel from the Holy Ghost, please sit down, and you can't find him, there is danger. It means the atmosphere of the kingdom, you are no longer in that circumference. The proof that you are in the circumference of the kingdom is that the voice of the Holy Ghost is with you. The Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 3, Eli was still carrying out oblations and ritual. He said in those days, the voice of God was scarce. There are no more open vision. So what they were doing was a show in the flesh. I'm telling you the things that must be on ground for revival to come. That's why we come to the altar now. It's about, if I say some things, I will be distracted. If there's no relationship, there's no kingdom. If there's no kingdom, there'll be no revival. Now we are so moved by number. Because 10,000 people came to church that day. Hey! Everything becomes a drama. Wise men know that relationship is what counts. So even if there are three, they come with the same zest because they know God is in their midst. If God is no longer in their midst, it doesn't matter if they are 1 million. It's a gathering of men that have no ring. If I talk to you about life, you will see why there are casualties in kingdom warfare. The reason they are casualties in kingdom warfare is because of the absence of life and access. Because when the people no longer have life and access, they can become like animals. The same way you can carry your goat and kill it, and there is no violation in the spirit. That's the same way 1,000 people can die, and it will not be a violation in the spirit realm. Because what gives them relevance and credibility is the kind of life force that moves them. So when you find a man that is moved by the life of Abba, if you touch that man, the jealousy of God can eat you up. The jealousy. God was willing to spare Sodom if there were 10 men that carried life. If there were 10 men that had access. If there were 10 righteous men. That means men that walk in the presence. Men that are regulated by the government of the present. If you find 10 of such men, because of them I will spare Sodom. That means 10 men can be greater than a nation. Because of access. That's why the Bible said, when God spoke, Noah moved with fear. And they said, because of Noah, the world was judged. So God can choose one man over a whole generation. Because of the kind of access that that man has. That man becomes like a legislative force that represents the earth realm in the realms of the Shamayim. One man can represent earth in heaven. And God can spare earth. Because one man stood in the court and said, show mercy. Show mercy. Because I have access. I cry on behalf of the human race. Show mercy. And the reason a generation can be spared is not because they are 1 million. Because when the corridors of men no
no longer have access. They are like animals. They can perish and nothing can happen. So access becomes too fundamental in kingdom. The reason Calabar is still standing may not be because of the many churches. You will stand and say, do you mean God will wipe off all these people? You don't know what you are talking about. When you come to the realm of life, you will discover that when a man doesn't function in that realm, he's like an animal. Some people come and say, do you mean it's only Christians that will be saved? Do you see the number of people in the world? He said, there is no other way to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except, it doesn't matter if the men are 10 billion. If you don't have access to the Father, you will be lifted up by the furnace. We are relevant to the degree to which we have access. That's why you can see a million apostles in Nigeria. God can beam his light on 5. They have access. It's not the number of apostles that make the difference. It's the men that have access. Because if they have access, when they come with the verdict of Zion. If they talk to you, their word are verdicts from council meetings.
Hope you know that there are over 200 million people in Nigeria. There are 109 men in the Senate. 3 men from the Senate represent a state. That means the stature of a state where things really matter is 3. The stature of a state is not in the population. It's in the number of senators that represent them. Whether you will enjoy federal government benevolence or not is a function of those 3 men. It's called access, the power of access. One man can represent Calabar, and you can find ventilation in Calabar. Because in that realm, they deal with legislations. Who is representing your realm? If there's nobody, we are afraid. Others are busy representing their constituencies. If I had time, I would have told you certain things about the Council of Heaven. So you will know who the 24 elders are. Those are men that are legislators of aeons that have passed. Because when our aeon passes, the elders will not be 24. Others will join them. But I don't have time to tell you things that happen in the realm of light. So you will know how government and dominion takes expression. That's why the Bible said, when time is accomplished, it said Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they will sit in the new Jerusalem. And it said men will come from the north, the south, the east, and the west to greet them. Those ones have become elders. And that's why the new Jerusalem does not have the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You may have the name of the 12 tribes of Israel, because the new race that God is working with is the Israel. But Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are elders. You don't find them in the corridors of the New Jerusalem. They will represent an age, because the age came from their loins. The 12 apostles of the Lamb, their names are at the gate, because they represent the bride of Christ. Because there's a difference between the church and the body of Christ. The body of Christ comprises both the church and the Israel of the Old Testament that God gave promise to. So the 12 tribes of Israel represents the old Israel, the body of Christ in the wilderness. And the 12 apostles of the Lamb represent the bride of Christ in the new dispensation. That's what came together to form the new Jerusalem. But the progenitors of this order, they are elders. Because a time will come in the history of God that the race of men would have been completed. And the reason that they prove that we exist is that we'll have witnesses in the courts of Abba. We will have witnesses. But I don't have time. So let's stop here.
Let me go forward so that I can end. I want to read somewhere. There are several components of the kingdom. The Lord will give you understanding to get the rest. I am standing on the covenant of Yahweh. I am standing on the promise of Yeshua, who is the Word of God. To my Jesus, who is the Lord, I belong to the family of Yahweh. I am standing on the covenant of Yahweh. I am standing on the altar of Jerusalem to Yeshua, who is the Word of God, to Yeshua, who is the High Priest, through my Jesus, through His love. Please sit down. There are some things that are better shared when you are with pastors. They will understand you better. They will understand you better. You don't know why we have bodies for revival. Because we are fighting to have a place in the world to come. We are fighting that we will not, our realm will not be vacuum. There will not be vacuum. When the aeons of Abba is lifted, there will be no vacuum for our aeon. When the rule is called in the realm yonder, that mortals and men, we also have representative. And that we will have princes that will rule the ages to come. There are too many young people here. Let me. Oh, mercy. So when there's no kingdom, God will do nothing. Because even if God does something, there will be no rep in Zion. Men will be running. God will give them anointing. They will now start building houses. Meanwhile, they are asking in the courts of heaven, where are the men? Who are the representative of the human race? Are there no men of stature that can stand in the gap? I'm looking for a man who can stand in the vacuum. There is a gap. There's a gap. Or they come to our generation and say, who are the reps of this generation? Because in the time of John, they had a rep. He knew that there was 400 years of darkness. That means four generations were lost. That's why it's called the Dark Age. Until John had to deny himself of everything and went to the wilderness. And John appeared in that realm. And when he came, he said, the one that sent me, the same said unto me, I'm sent. I was able to appear in the galaxies. Beyond the galactic council, I appeared there. And I was sent. So he came to mortals as a messenger of eternity. They didn't understand what he was saying. Why are you baptizing? What is the meaning of this? Oh yeah. When Isaiah spoke in his generation that a generation is coming in whom the Messiah will appear, they needed somebody in heaven. I was the one that journeyed. I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. So he came as a messenger. He was sent. So when John wrote, he said, there's a man sent from God. Some people are preachers. Some are sent to a generation. Because when they appear beyond the galaxies, they came with a verdict. And so when such men come, their duty is not to teach everything so that they will be relevant. They came with a voice. And sometimes they will only cry. But if they cry, there will be a witness and a memorial that the counsel of God was preached to that generation. And that's why God said, when a generation has a sent man and that generation does not repent, he said it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the judgment. Because we found the witness, we sent him. Access is one of the heaviest things in kingdom. And the reason we cry for revival is because in revival, there's access. There's access. So when God sees that kingdom is not in place, he will pause.
That was why after Adam violated the seven components of the kingdom, God stopped. God waited for the second Adam to come. What I want to do with the Adamic order, this Adam have violated it. I can't do anything again until another Adam comes. So God waited. Everything that happened in the Old Testament was a preparation for the coming of the second Adam. And that's why Jesus met them in Luke 24. He said, the law and the prophets spoke about me. Everything you are reading in the law and the prophet is about Christ. Because the first Adam has failed, kingdom have been removed. Until the second Adam comes, nothing can happen. And the moment the second Adam came, in Mark 1:15, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom has been restored. So the purposes of God can now find expression. Kingdom have come. Between that time, there were six dispensations. But God didn't do anything. Because he's not moved by time. His name is called Ancient of Days. The first dispensation of God is the dispensation of innocence. Adam was innocent. He didn't have understanding. So a cherub in darkness deceived him. After that dispensation was the dispensation of conscience. Now that you have become like one of us, you will live according to the law of conscience. And that's why the Bible said in Romans chapter 2 that those who exercise the good conscience before Jesus came, they have a propensity for salvation. After the dispensation of conscience, then the dispensation of the promise came. So God called Abraham and gave him promises. Indeed shall the nations of the earth be blessed. After the dispensation of the promise came the dispensation of the law. When God, on the strength of the promise, wanted to bring Israel back into access. In Exodus 19 verse 8, they say, God has spoken, whatever he said we will do. The law started. After the dispensation of the law came the dispensation of grace. So in John 1:17, he said, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. After the dispensation of grace, we were now ready for kingdom to return. So in Christ, kingdom return. Now that kingdom have come, God can begin to work. And I want to show you how God works. I know some of you came for healing. Don't worry. When kingdom come, your sickness will fall. Because men don't fall sick in the presence.
Ooh, Yeshua, who is the word of God, to my Jesus, through his blood.
Now, when the kingdom of God comes, everything that works in that kingdom is legalistic, is structured. Things are not ordered without coordination. There is a structured way the kingdom functions. There are many angles I can draw this from. But let me just use illustration of life. Since I'm already talking about life. What God used to structure kingdom is life. You know, that's why I began telling you at first. That our rank in this kingdom, our structure in this kingdom, is a function of the life order we are working in. Now, if you have animals in your house, the animal that will be closer to you is the one that exhibits a high level of intelligence. So, no matter how you love your horse, many people, when their horses become old, they start crying. When their horses die, they organize a funeral and bury the horse with tears. In some funny nations, they even bring a priest. Because their priesthood is political. You know, there are times when priesthood becomes political. So even in the Bible, they had two high priests. They had Annas and they had Caiaphas. They can have political high priests. But even though you love your horse so much, you can't take your horse to your bedroom. It doesn't have enough intelligence to negotiate in that level. You may bring your cat, because your cat is more intelligent than your horse. At least if your cat wants to defecate, it will go out, dig a hole, defecate and cover it. But your horse doesn't have that level of intelligence. So when God creates men in his kingdom, He graced them based on the quality of life they are operating in. And we have taught this before. We've taught it many times. The reason animals have no consequence in the realm of God is because of where they are operating. So on Christmas Day, you can kill your goat. You say, we want to celebrate. And then you are killing something else. And you don't think it's wickedness. You call your goat, you fatten the goat for 3 weeks to be killed. You are a wicked man. Now, that's how they will talk in the goat realm. And then you bring music, you say it's my son's birthday party, my son's birthday party, and you tie a cow. And the sometimes the cow becomes quiet. Sometimes when you come close, you see tears. And then the cow is saying, why are men wicked? What kind of beings are these? And then you come, you tie the cow. Sometimes the cow will just submit to you. And even in that submission, your conscience will not prick you. You will huck up, huck up. Have you not seen men keep? When I was a little boy, they killed a goat, my favorite goat. Because my dad used to rear animals. I went and touched the blood and put it on my shirt. I said, I won't forget this goat. They were laughing. When I saw the way they killed the goat, I refused to eat. They had to kill a chicken and told me, it's not your goat. I was a child. But I had conscience for the goat. Now, what I'm trying to say is that there's no law that forbids you from killing a cow. And when you kill a cow, it's not a sin. And it doesn't affect your conscience because of the life form of that cow. Now, when you function in the animal life, when angels and demons are fighting, they can kill you. That's why many people die of cancer. That's why many people are cut off. Because there's no implication about them. But there are certain men that even if you kidnap them, there will be war in the spirit. The jealousy of God will be invested. If angels don't walk quickly, God himself will add speed and say, fly swiftly. When the angel came to Daniel, he said, I was given speed and skill to fly swiftly. I had to come quick because even though Israel had been in captivity, there's somebody operating on a higher order of life. Because these ones, when they were eating everything in Babylon, they said they decided not to defy themselves with the king's meat. Ah! How did you know that there is a God that even in captivity, you will fear and stay righteous to? Because you have done this, even if they throw you to the den of lion, angels will seal their mouth. Not because the lions are not hungry. You are not a man. They can't eat you. Lions can eat men. But this one that came into the den is a god. He's walking in another order of life. If you touch it, the lions will worship him because he came with another kind of life. A life that references God. That's an angelic order. Because he said to Moses in Exodus 7 verse 1, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. If you talk before Pharaoh and you don't talk in his favor, they will kill you. But even Pharaoh cannot think of killing Moses because you don't kill gods. It's an order of life. So the way we are graded in God's kingdom is by the grading of life. When you move from the animal life, functioning by feelings, and you begin to walk in the realm of reverence and the fear of the Lord, you cease to be a man. The reason is because you have been able to win the battle of flesh. Everybody walking as an animal, there are three battles that you can never fight in. The battle of the flesh, the battle of the world, and the battle against the princes of this age. When a man is able to win that battle and begin to function in the fear of the Lord, that man have won the race of flesh. He's no longer a mortal because the devil has power over flesh. That's why he afflicted Job. He can afflict the flesh. But when a man ceases to live by the dictates of the flesh, when a man can no longer be ruled by the world system, when a man can no longer be ruled by the princes of this age, what it means is that man is no longer in the class of flesh. Because everybody in the class of flesh, these three things will dominate him. So in the realm of God, the first life placement is a placement
according to the victory that life affords you. So when they take you in that realm, they will find out, are you still ruled by flesh? Because when a man begins to function by flesh, what happens is that he is dethroned from the God class. Because no God is ruled by his feelings. That's why the Bible said, our God does not sleep or slumber. He has absolute power over feeling. Hope you know God has feelings. But God rules over his feeling. There is power over his feelings. So he cannot sleep nor slumber. That's the extent to which God rules over his feeling. God cannot be stopped when he wants to do anything. He has power over his feeling. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:26, he said, I beat my body. I bring my body under subjection. He said, if we are able to purge ourselves, he said, then we are meet and suitable to be used for the master's name. What Paul is saying is that if you want to receive a high grading in the realm of life, you must be able to dominate your flesh. You must come to a point where you are not ruled by your feeling. You want to pray in the night. I'm not even talking about sin yet, because if you are still at the level of sin, that means what we are talking about, you can't know it. I'm talking about men who are fighting. You know, the Bible said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death, that I may partake of his resurrection. So what Paul is saying is that in this life form, I'm able to tame my flesh and make my flesh to be powerless concerning my existence. When a man is able to attain that feat in the realm of God, he has moved in the class of life. He's not an ordinary man anymore. The things that happen to people who are ruled by their feeling can't happen to him, because he has stepped up. But you see, even though we are many, there are many who are ruled by their flesh. So when they can't fast, when you say fast, after 3 hours, the alarm of flesh begins to shout. They now wake up and say, I will do this fasting tomorrow. After all, I'm just 19 years old. I still have a lot of time in this world. They carry the Bible to read. They doze off. Ah, Lord, help me, help me, help me. God will help you by showing you mercy. But you can't grow in the kingdom, because kingdom is not for children. The heir, so long as it's a child, is not different from a servant. So what God will do is that he will give you deliverance. So you are traveling, you know, there's an accident. You say, thank you, Jesus. Hey, I survived. You can't be entrusted with the powers of a God, because flesh still rule you. There are certain men that when they travel, they say, we are the safety of the road. Those types don't pray to God for deliverance. They are the deliverance of this generation. There is a power. It's called the powers of the ages to come. It's the power of a God. See, the reason why when we preach, we are careful is because we are talking to different people. Somebody wakes up, he says, Lord, help me with my daily bread. That prayer was for children, because God never taught his disciples about their daily bread. When he came to his disciples, he told them, go into all the world. Go and dominate the world. People like you don't pray for bread. They bring it to your feet. It's the power of a God. For such men, even if there is drought in the land for 3.5 years, ravens will begin to look for them. God can employ ravens to get bread and find them wherever they are. God can afford to command a widow to give her last meal to that man. Because such men, they are not mortals. They have won, they have entered higher cadres of life. They know how to bring the flesh under subjection. Because a man who can tame the flesh crosses the threshold of mortality to immortality. The journey from mortality to immortality is the ability to rule over your senses. When you can tame your flesh, you have become a God man. Those are the kind of men that God is looking for. God is not looking for a large church. The glory of the King is in the multitude of the people. It's beautiful when we are many. But the men God wants to work with are the men that have power in this world. And one of the signs is that they have won the battle of flesh. If you read Romans chapter 12 from verse 20, Paul was telling us how much of victory he has over flesh. And one of the ways Paul described this is that he can't be offended. When you offend Paul, you can't get him to be offended. He has mastered anger. He has mastered, but we have a generation where even in pastors' meeting, what we talk is malice and gossip. That's why Paul says you are babes, you are carnal. You have not come into the realm of gods because you can't walk kingdom. If you can't dominate flesh, you can't walk where immortals walk. It's not about the vision you have or the dream you had or what God told you. What is the degree to which you rule your flesh? Because if you don't tame the flesh, even if Jesus appears to you today, you will still sabotage it. The insurance you will have to keep walking in the realm of access is the degree to which you tame the flesh. The reason we call people to fasting, to prayers, is because we want to teach them how to master their flesh. So when you start praying, you discover that it becomes difficult for you. I'm telling you how we journey into the gate of revival. The guy can enjoy praise and dance and sweat. But when you change from praise to prayer, after a while, he starts dozing off. The question I always ask myself is, how can a man sleep where people are praying so loud? Because sleep has no regard for volume. It's a law over the flesh. And when sleep binds a man, if you like, put it in an engine room, he will sleep comfortably. Because he has no rule over the flesh. Have you not seen that even in a service like this, some people can be looking at somebody and forget themselves? All they are thinking of is how to meet that person after the service. They are slaves. We may be many, but there are few men that have mastered the flesh. So when God begins to rate men, one of the things he checks is, to what degree have you ruled your flesh? To what degree have you conquered your flesh? Because if you have not conquered your flesh, anything I give you is a waste. That's why I say, cast not holy things to the swine. They will go back to where they came from. The guy is still a slave of his appetite. I can't commit kingdom to him. He has not decimated flesh. He has not killed the powers of the flesh. God wants to give powers to a man to bring a city to her knees. But the least provocation, that man begins to render curses. So if God gives him that power, a man will kill all the children of God. There's no power over the flesh. That's why I say if a man is perfect, he has rule over his tongue. And in Matthew chapter 28 verse 43, he said, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And in that kind of perfection, it has an implication on relational discipline. We are talking kingdom, organic reality. You know how to link with the Holy Spirit and for the Holy Ghost to mortify your flesh. So sometimes you will seek him in the closet. You will seek him in the secret. You will seek him everywhere because you don't want flesh to raise her ugly head. Because there's a journey you want to embark upon. There's a place I want to get to. Flesh is a limitation. Do you not know that even this preaching that we are preaching now can become the reason why flesh becomes strong? You come up, you exaggerate, you do all kinds of things to make people feel you are a certain man. God is wise. That's why the power of God is released when the gospel is simple. So that no man can take the glory and say, I'm a cherubim. That's why this happened. It is in the simplicity of the gospel that the power of God moves. Somebody becomes blessed. That's the reason the person falls. Because there's no victory over flesh. You can't ascend. You can't know revival. The flesh will always cut it off. It will always truncate it. Adam was in the midst of a revival. Every day, the Bible said, the voice of God came. The voice of God came. But flesh had not been overcome. The lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh. The pride of life. Even though God was coming every day. Every day. The man didn't win flesh. He truncated revival. When a man is growing in life, his first victory is in the flesh. That's why when men become mature in God, they are not moved. You can come and sing, everybody is falling, they are watching you. They saw the way you climb the stage. They want to see the way you come down. Because when you climb the stage, you were moving with fear, hoping that God will help you. Now that God has helped you, you want to come down from the stage. You now stand like this and say, I want to proclaim the blessings of God over you.
The person who came like a lamb, because God is not moving, he's like this. So when they check you, they know you will not go far. The anointing move, but you are still a slave of flesh. You are still a slave. Sometimes when fathers are listening to you, your revelation may be cutting edge, but they are seeing your disposition. And the moment people start clapping, you begin to walk like this. You begin to proclaim. They now say, okay, this is a servant of flesh. They will wait and give you 5 years. After 5 years, they will look for you again. Is that boy still talking? When they see you after 5 years, they still check. If flesh is not dealt with, they will leave you. Because they know it's a wasted investment when you invest in the flesh. The flesh will always perish. It will always suffer corruption. So when God wants to entrust powers to a generation, he begins to check the parameters of the flesh. The day you call somebody's name and phone number, that day everything about to change. There's a way you now stand. I'm showing you the things you watch out for. I know now you can pray for 7 hours, but if you are not careful, 7 hours prayer will be the reason why you will lose your place. Because once upon a time, when you were only able to pray for 20 minutes, you came to the place of prayer, trusting God to help you. Now you have become a prayer champion. So you will not even pray. You'll be strolling at the back, waiting for when they'll give you a microphone. Because everything they are doing now, they are joking. Until you climb the altar. Then they will see what prayer is. You are a clanging cymbal. And the guy comes. Even when they give him the microphone, he believes himself so much. He will first of all key the atmosphere and say, wait. When we begin to pray, all that show is for prayer. He wants to talk to God. You want to talk to an eternal oracle. An endless oracle, an immortal that even cherubims can't stand before. And then you are like this. When the cherubims that guard the presence show up in that meeting, you are the first they will strike. Because they carry the jealousy of God as a body. The reason we are small is because we have not one flesh. People are praying, and God is telling them, go back. There is a tyrant in your life that I must tame. That tyrant is that ancient enemy, the flesh. The flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and the two one to another. When revival comes, men must rule over flesh. Number two, men must win over the world. The world can make a slave of you. That's why I say men are concerned about the things of this life. When you get to Lagos, like my brother who came from Lagos, we love ourselves so much. There's a way they live in Lagos. It's natural for you to tie your integrity and put it in the box before you go out. Because if you carry your integrity, you are already doomed. Because in Lagos, is not lying is part of the process. So many pastors that are in Lagos are businessmen. They don't know Jesus Christ. When you come around them, everything about them is politics. 5 minutes of charge, they will use politics to win everybody's favor first. And then the next thing, they will begin to exaggerate and hype it. It's a natural thing in Lagos. It's a natural thing. Because your environment can make you a slave. Even though God calls you into the army of God, separates you from Egypt, you see all the miracles. You can still carry Egypt in your heart. Because what the world does is that it enslaves you. The flesh wants to dethrone you from your throne as a god. The world wants to kill the love of God in your life, so that it will replace it with the love for things. And even though things are necessary, your pursuit is not things. It says, seek first the kingdom and all these things shall be added. But when the world comes, the world wants you to seek things. And because of things, you can compromise on your relationship with God any day, anytime.
And then you will think you are making progress, because the world will make you think that progress is based on the natural things around you. Last month we were 10. Now we are 2,000. The Lord is good. You didn't make progress because your number increased. You make progress because the level of God that is entrusted to you have increased. God will entrust himself more to you. More, more, more. When God entrusts himself to you, the number will increase. But you also need to know that the number can increase without God entrusting himself to you. Because if you begin to pursue number, you can begin to deploy strategies that will make the number grow, but God will not grow in you. So the world will put you under pressure for you to use natural parameters to judge your success. And by the time you start doing it, you will discover that when you arrive at your destination will not be Zion, it will be called Babylon. Because Babylon's focus is greatness. Babylon, the great. You will end at greatness, but it will be greatness in the flesh, not with God. So even though the things of this life are important, we don't pursue them. Because the verdict of the spirit realm is that the things of life should be an addition. So even though crowd is important, it's an addition. Finances are important, they are an addition. Our pursuit is God, the presence, access to his realm. And if we stay accurate, he has already said, I've not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. I know the things you are looking for. He said the things the pagans are desperately looking for will be added to you. Don't pursue those things. It's a gimmick of the world. And then the spirit of this life, or the spirit of this age, they will come to blind you. When flesh wins you, the world dominates you, you become blinded. So even in error, you will be proud. When they want to correct you, you will, me? Who is the person? If this person, this is the person, you don't hear anymore. So even though you are diabolic, you go and join bishops and carry a long tie, a long chain, and then you come for the meeting like this. Because that you came with a Prado Jeep doesn't mean you have stature. It's only those who are blinded that don't see. We see beyond the Prado Jeep. If you like, buy a Prado Jeep and carry a long cross on your neck. We see beyond the cross. Because we know him that dwells in the midst of the coals of fire. And any man who has been purged, when he appears, we can sense the aroma of God like a fragrance from him. When you see a man of God talking, you don't need, even if he doesn't quote the Bible, you can perceive the aroma. Because the spirit that he mingles with will follow him out as a token of their intimacy. When a spirit wants to validate you, there is a token he gives to you. When you come out of the secret place, he will come with you like a fragrance. The demons know it. That's why when Jesus came from the mountain, he came into the synagogue. The Pharisees could not discern him. But demons began to scream, why have you come before your time? There's a token that he came with. When a man of God comes, a man that does business with the oracles of God's spirit, when he enters a place, there's an aroma he carries. And every man of discernment will know him. We are not moved by long garments. We are moved by the coverings of the presence. What is the aroma you came with? We can perceive it. We can perceive it because we pursue the presence. So if you carry it, we will know. With all due respect, we don't rank you based on your cross. What is the waters you deal with? Where are the places you are summoned to? What is the witness you can bring to your generation? You just come and stand and say, the Lord has blessed me. What is the blessing? Is it the car you are driving? I've left that level. That's a mundane realm. Because Mark Zuckerberg doesn't need God to buy that car. That's a mundane realm. Is it because you flew to the meeting with a private jet? I'm not moved by it. There is a realm where men don't travel by means. They go by the wind. I have gone to places before where men communicate at the frequency of thought. I've been traveling to places before where men travel by the wind. So I'm not moved whether you came with a Lincoln Navigator. I want to find out, what is the entourage that came with you? Can I perceive the presence of angelic beings? What is the fragrance of God you carry? And when you speak, what is the witness that you have for your generation? I can find stature in a man. A man that travels in the spirit, he has an aroma. The same way you carry a perfume, he carries it. But when a generation is blinded, they rate men by what they have. And everything we call blessing is mundane. That's why we can't change our world. Because most of the kings of this world, they have what you are looking for in excess. So what is the gospel you have for them? If your God only blesses men with car, then they don't need your God. Because without your God, they have more than enough. I read of a king, the king, I think of someone something republic, that has over 35 Rolls Royce. In his house, every day, a Rolls Royce is parked on in case he steps out by emergency. His cars alone are worth more than $5 billion. So you come to such a king and you say, God blesses men with things. He will look at you. He will say, call your God. I want to help him. I have more than enough. When we talk about rank in the spirit, we find out what is the level of access you have. If men are confused now, can you talk to your God and he brings direction? If a generation is walking in iniquity, can your God bring witness sufficient to orchestrate repentance so that your generation can have a heritage in the world to come? What do you carry? You cannot walk in those corridors until you have been able to win the war over the princes of this world. They come to blind men. They come to darken the understanding of men. So instead of pursuing things that are eternal, we pursue earthly things. And it's a cycle of vanity and vexation of spirit. But we cannot tell. When the spirit of revival comes, it manifests in threefold. The first way the spirit of revival manifests is in the knowledge of God. I know about prayer. I know about martyrdom. But the first expression of the spirit of revival is that men will come into the economy of the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is not information. It is experience. Every man will begin to experience God for himself. You can no longer talk to men about God. They know the God you are talking about. So all of us have experiential knowledge of God. And that is why God calls knowledge life. He said, this is life eternal, that you may know him, the only true God, and him whom he has sent. When we enter into the experiential knowledge of God, deception will die. And the knowledge of God will become a drawing force in our spirit. Because the way this knowledge works is that it doesn't get accumulated in your mind. It eats up your soul. So the more you know a spirit, the more you want to know him. The more you know a spirit, the more you want to know him. This is why the beings of the throne room, they are never dissatisfied. The Bible said the four beasts, day and night, forever and ever, without ceasing, they kept crying, holy is the Lord. The first day I read that scripture, I said, day and night, forever and ever. Don't they need rest? And I realize that rest is not relaxation. Rest is to be trapped in the center of God's will and to continually experience his presence. These men are in the loudest rest you can think of, because every time they look upon him, they bask in that presence. And that presence improves the quality of their beings, and they give out the glory of God as an aroma, because the knowledge of God, they are saturated with it. When the spirit of revival engulfs the generation, men will know God. The laws of God will be written on their heart. This is why men will begin to fear the Lord, because you don't need to come and read to them the laws of Moses. The presence of God in itself will become a government over them. A generation is coming that will be baptized with the spirit of revival, that when we stand, when we walk, when we sit, the only thing that will motivate us will be intimacy with God, because we will want more and more of him. Jesus said, the zeal of my father's house have consumed me. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of God. The reason is because he came there all the time and he beheld God. And every time he looks upon his eternal majesty, there is something that happens on his inside, because every time God shows up, he glows in different dimensions. So one time you see the mercy of God and you are broken down crying, Lord, I don't deserve this. How can you show so much mercy? But it is a knowledge you are interacting with. Another time, the love of God will engulf you. And that love of God will flow in your spirit like liquid. It will be so intense, it will trap you. See, the love of God is what will make you forget about the offense of men. Because there is something happening within you. It's so tangible that you cannot afford to keep malice with another man. You are overwhelmed. You are overwhelmed. He pours himself upon you like an ocean. And the point comes when the love of God becomes heavy. Why in your room praying,
you just find yourself crying. You start crying. You don't know what you're asking for. You are just overwhelmed because you have received something that men can give. Is
times men will reject you, but you have something that men can't take from you. It's the love of God. Many times ministry will fail, men will write you off, but you have found the love of God. The Bible said it passeth knowledge. You can't teach it, you can't communicate it. It's a liquid fire that flows in your spirit. Nothing moves you anymore. You have found the God that dwells in the deep dark. Talk to the Lord.
In my dark, guess light, you became my light. Jesus, you in more and more.
Ah.
Check man, that I am inside. Who shall save me from myself?
Oh,
in my darkest night, you became my light. Jesus, you more and more.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website, orocomichael.com, to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.